This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
For those who haven't been to a show or saw our show, it's unscripted, non-rehearsed. We have no idea what the conversation for the episode is going to be. And in true fashion, it's the same today. It's D. John's turn to drive, which means he's going to lead the conversation. So I literally have no idea what the topic is, but we'll know in a minute.
Go get to it.
Get to it.
Is you ready? Welcome to the Dead Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. It's forefathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless, so nobody's left out. These are the conversations we want our sons to access as they grow through life in the manhood, so no topics are off limits. I'm just one of your hosts, D. Johns.
I'm your other host, Jay Black.
Jay Black, how are you feeling?
We live. Brother? We live. Y'all make some noise. Let the people know we live, please.
Yeah.
We live. How you feeling, brother? What you know?
I feel good, man. The polo and the party crashes just turned the stage out.
I'm going to get it right. I'm going to link them.
Salute to good music. Good music always does something for me. I can't turn on the radio these days because I can't trust my ears with anybody else's decisions at this point. But I feel good, man. Another installment of people believing.
Certainly.
And people supporting.
Yes.
Because there's different levels of support.
Always.
There's y'all keep going. There's I see y'all. And then there's come see us.
Yeah, because they say sometimes when black people tell you, I'm praying for you, that was the prayer.
That was the prayer, man. And on that note, God is great, man. I can't complain about too much, man. You excited?
I'm excited, man. You know, I'm always, I try to keep from doing the old man, rub my legs, but I can't help it. I'm excited, man. We can get to work. Let's go.
Get to it. And for the watching and listening audience, we challenge the audience that is live to be live and interactive, so we'll give y'all a letter grade as we get through it. Jay Black doesn't know the topic, and like he just explained, but for those on camera, you know, we don't discuss these things, so I have the honor and the privilege of putting this in front of him and in front of y'all at the same time. But the topic tonight is, dear son, you will always be shackled to your past.
The way that hits me, you may as well focus on the road ahead, because the past is always going to be there anyway. I can't go where I'm going if I'm driving. If I have to say life is a car or a vehicle and I'm traveling along this road of life, if I'm staring in the rearview mirror, me looking at it not going to change what I passed. If I passed the gas station and I need the gas and I happen to keep going, it don't change the fact that it's behind me.
Yeah.
It's always going to be behind me anyway. However, whatever is in front of me, I don't know that it's coming. I don't know what to expect. So I need to keep my eyes ahead of me and focus. What you got?
So it's a couple of different paths that it took me when it hit my spirit. It never hit the bank, but it hit my spirit.
Yeah.
Part of it is like what from my past am I allowing to shape how I show up today?
Hmm.
Right. I've probably belabored the story of how I arrived in this space. I was in corporate, excelling in corporate, and corporate said, we good on you, right?
Yeah.
And I looked up and that was my identity. All those years, that was a thing that I could point to, realizing that I wasn't necessarily showing up like I was posing in the house. So sometimes it's a weight, man. It's a constant assessment of what did my past do to my home?
Yeah.
What is my present doing to undo what the past did to my home? I gauge it pretty heavily. Outside looking in may gauge it differently, but I know that there was a phase where I made other things more important and gave other things more attention than my household. So now my kids are today 22, 20, 18, 12, and 11, and I'm seeing the results of where some things we were spot on and where some things we weren't necessarily on point. And I wonder how they see me now that they're adults. Are they holding my past front of mind? Not even holding me hostage by it, but those are the things.
Foundationally, prior to that, though, let's look at if I stay in the spirit of I'm always chained to my past, right? It's two ways. It's one of two ways I can use this, though. Let's say, for instance, sticking with the example you gave, the relationship, the marriage, me as a father. So if I'm chained to my past, let's say there's certain mistakes I made.
Yeah.
I can either use that as an excuse to continually make those same mistakes. I was like this when you met me. However, the flip side of the coin, the ideal usage of that same information, though, it's chained to me, but I'm going to use it as a motivating force, though. I don't want that to be my existence anymore. If I'm trying to actively change my outcome or my interaction or my relationship even, let's say, for instance, my past was I had an absentee father, right? Or my father was absent because he was working. A lot of people hear absent father and they automatically think he abandoned the family. Where, and this could be argued too, as I even say that out loud, let's say it's a very work-oriented dad. Yeah. He travels a lot. He leaves on Sunday night. He don't return until Friday night. In the mind or in the life of the family or the household, it's argued that a wife in that situation would say she's a single mom because she running the whole house all week. So now if you saw that as a child and then you grow up and that's chained to you, you're going to do one or two things. This is what I know fatherhood to be. This is what I know to be a provider. I have to be gone. I got to beat the road. If I'm not gone and trying to maximize every waking moment to get this money, then I'm a failure as a dad, as a father, as a husband. Or I hate how that felt for my dad to be gone like that. I'm going to do the exact opposite. I'm going to find a way to be here 7 days a week and try to find a way to be a provider with that as well. Which of those would resonate with you, though? Which is there one more important than the other, in your opinion? Obviously, there's a right answer publicly, but what's the real answer to
that? Yeah, I mean, becoming more of or becoming very different than your parents. Like, I get that in a lot of aspects. So it can motivate. I agree that it can be a good source of motivation. It's not necessarily my source of motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm really trying to focus on, so that's an example of what your environment did to you.
Okay.
I'm looking at me creating the environment, me having control or having a say to create the order or disorder in the environment and what those things have done, right? And again, it's not that you can't overcome your past,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes I find myself going down this spiral of, like, what is the duty of that, right? It's one thing to admit that you made these mistakes and to have a conversation and to be apologetic and really mean it. But what is the actual duty to those that you love? I'm not saying necessarily to the public, somebody can argue that, but to those that you love, what is the duty related to showing that change? Like, what does it look like? Is it ever done? Like, how much of that informs how you go every day, right? Like, those are the moments that I've been having lately of especially seeing the older children be a way and the younger set be a way. I can see what the gaps are.
Right.
Platform is dear son. Seeing the moments that I miss with my oldest son that I'm catching with my youngest son, and now my oldest son is coming into his own.
Right.
So I can't necessarily be upset about the things that he is displaying if I've contributed or my lack of engagement has led to those kind of, you know what I'm saying?
I do. And as you say that, again, that triggers a thought in me, a feeling and an emotion, if you will. I have an older set of children. I have a younger set, right?
Yeah.
this is going to be a comment, but a question as well. Do you have or have you ever felt or witnessed yourself experiencing remorse? And what I mean by that is I was a certain way. I was a certain parent with my first or my older children. Let's say that my older children, I was a certain parent. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to learn as I go. This is what I know to be because maybe perhaps I'm doing what I saw done to me. Sure. It could be wrong. It could be outdated, antiquated, if you will, but this is what I know to do. Maybe I wasn't as active. Maybe I wasn't as present. But then circle around. Now I have a 7-year-old and I have a 10-year-old. I'm super dad. Is there a remorse? Is there a guilt that you're perhaps, by your own definition, a better dad, a better parent to these younger children than you were to the older children? Now, to yourself, you'll justify it by saying, lesson learned. I learned and at least I got it right with this group. But if I don't get it right with this group, do I feel guilty that my older child missed out on this version of me? What do you do in that situation or that scenario?
Yeah, I'm a hold for the mic.
Yes, my name is Halden. I just want to say it's awesome what you're doing, but I want to kind of talk about the two things that you're talking about.
Yeah,
first of all, parenthood is always going on. Even when your children grow older and they get out the house, they think we can never stop parenting.
Right.
And I had the same situation with my son. I got older children, younger children. So with that, I had to tell my son, hey, when you were young, we wasn't as successful.
Right.
So we couldn't give you everything that we can do with our younger children. So don't be upset or take that. We did the best we could with you at that point in time. But as time went on, we were more successful and we were able to do more with our younger children.
Sure.
So you can't, don't be upset at the parent for living our lives and trying to keep going on.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something about driving a car. You said something about that. And my father always told me, when you get in the car, don't go too fast because you always want to be able to slow down and pull over to the curb if you see somebody you want to talk to. But if you're going too fast, now you got to turn around, come back around. So he said, always drive at an appropriate speed. So you should live your life. Don't overdo it. Don't be trying to go so hard. You know, take it as it comes and be at a comfortable speed in life.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Good point, brother. Good point.
How did your children receive that? It's great that you explained it to them if you're open to talking about that. But their lived experience is their lived experience. How did they receive that? Did that change? Was there something in the relationship that conversation fixed, or you just felt it on your heart that you wanted to say that?
I think as I was doing so much for my daughter, right? They're about 10 years apart. I was doing so much for her and everything. And we had a conversation because, you know, it looked like he was a little like, man, you doing all this stuff and you ain't doing nothing for me. And,
right.
You know, and I had to bring it to him. And I was like, hey, when you was a shorty and you was like 9-10 years old, it wasn't nothing that was out there that you didn't get.
Right, right, right.
So now that you're mature and you like in your 20s and stuff, when do it stop? I mean, I got to stop and let you be your own man and still, you know, I got to provide for my daughter. And right now she's 19 and I'm like, hey, that gravy train is stopped for you now. You know, I'm like, we kind of continue to do that because next thing you know, you'll be 29 years old like, daddy, I need to get my hair done. And you think that's my responsibility.
What you got
and
it's not. Me.
Right. Yes. And, you know, I had to tell her. I was like, hey, I'm paying your college tuition. Your personal appearance is up to you. You sure. need to go out there and figure out what you need to do so you can get your hair done, get your nails done. You know, do it legally and do it, you know, responsibly. But don't be looking for a dad to right. pay for everything that you want and desire.
Right.
Gotcha. Appreciate that.
Appreciate that, brother.
I think it's the term shackled that's giving me a bad connotation about it, because you don't have to be shackled, but you can be in touch with the past, right?
Okay.
Right. So I'm not shackled to it, but I'm in touch with it. I can reflect on it because it's a form of navigation. It's a navigation tool. I know what not to do.
Yeah.
Right. So I got to know what I did in order to know what not to do. So it's not plaguing me. I did it. You know what I'm saying? I just know what not to do again. So I'm not shackled to it, but I'm in touch with it. So I think it's important to know that you don't have to be shackled to something to be in touch with it.
I think that's good. I'm glad you made that distinction because part of the conversation is those around you keeping you shackled to your past, whether that's how they treat you, how they see you in their mind, all of that impacts how the house operates. So if I've moved past my past and I believe that my behaviors have demonstrated that I am a new person and the behaviors in my surrounding environment feel differently. And that's why I wanted to go with what that duty is. Like let's get to it.
Ooh. I'm glad you said, listen, I have a question. Cause am I allowed to tell somebody else when they done with something? Meaning, I had a relative once tell me he the most loyal person he knows. Sir, you're not allowed to tell me you're loyal. Someone else tells you how loyal you are. So if perhaps something about my past is a trigger to my significant other, my surroundings, my coworker, my colleague, my children even, if it's something about my past that's a trigger to them or bothers them, am I allowed, based on the example, to set a standard or a window or a time frame to say, hey, I've been better than that for this amount of time. You should be over and done with that. Like, move on. How you gonna still hold me accountable for that? And I'm so far removed from that. Am I allowed to set that standard? Or am I at the mercy of that person letting me know on their terms, hey, now I'm good with that. Or, hey, I may never be good with that. You have a time frame in your mind, but that person may never, they'll deal with it, tolerate it, persist. It's not worth throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
But I'll never get over it, perhaps. How do you feel about that time frame portion of it?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the mic, but I want to talk about that very scenario when somebody decides for them they're not going to get over a thing.
Mm.
What is your duty? Go ahead.
All right. So my question is, if your parents have shackles and you're born with your parents' shackles, how do you release yourself from your parents' shackles? Because I feel like that's something else.
Say more about that. Is it in terms of their limitations became your limitations, or they literally held you? Or in the scenario you were held.
People always say I have childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like my hood child traumas is my mama's shackles that she still to this day have not released. And I feel like I'm still holding on to the same shackles she holding on.
Why do you feel like you're holding on to it? Is it just familiar or comfortable? Or?
Maybe that's just something I haven't came to terms with, but I just didn't know if that makes sense. How do I release her shackles from her so she can release them from me?
I think it makes a lot of sense, but I like what you're saying, because an easy thing to do is to put it on her that she created the shackles and not have any ownership. But you're looking for how do you take ownership of it? So I think that's a great step. The easy way is for the blame to always be where it was birthed. And there's a lot of responsibility where the blame was birthed. But at this point, everybody in this room has the opportunity to reshape how they think, right? It's not that the things that happen to you don't impact and inform how you do things or who you are. And I can even catch myself, a lot of normal conversation consists of, this is what I know. This is what was done to me. This is what happened. This is where I'm from. I'm gonna call Joe T out because that's my guy. And he's big on overcoming the environment that he came from, right?
Yeah.
And those are things that it has to be a very specific and intentional decision that just isn't easy. So I don't, there is no easy answer for it. You have to decide that you're worth figuring it out and doing the work, you know, and I think it deserves a conversation with your mother if that's possible.
And a brief insert is step one is, like you said, acknowledging that that's not the life for you. That doesn't work for you. Like, if you don't first realize that this is not for me, then you'll continue to repeat those things because that's your norm. It can be the norm, but once you realize, hey, I don't like this, I want this to not be my existence. And then you start by example showing them. And when they start to say, hey, you look foreign to me, you acting funny, they can say what they want, but then if they see it and there's a better way, perhaps you'll be the example for the household or for the family to say, hey, this is our new way of doing things. This is the new line that we're going to start to follow. And if they don't, oh, well, it's not your line anymore. You know what I mean? You're not accountable for the whole family anymore. I got to do what's different for me. And if that means that we have to sever this relationship or even limit it to a point, it is what it is for the sake of my peace.
I think it's real important to let people know that a way that they were treating you, a way that you used to think is no longer for you. Like we have that responsibility to let somebody know that you're redefining your boundaries and you no longer accept the thing. That's something that I wasn't good at using my words. If something annoyed me, I just let it annoy me and I try to find my get backs in another way. Right? You got to have a conversation about these things as adults. That was childish behavior that I brought into adulthood because as a child, I thought it worked for me. No, that was just avoiding. And for me, I can avoid a thing until I don't think about it. And if I don't think about it, it's done. But that's never, that doesn't work like that in a household.
Facts. I'm Joe T, the one he put on blast.
Yes, sir.
But I feel like shackles only exist where unforgiveness lives. I did 10 years in prison. I missed majority of my child life. At some point, I felt like I had shackles. I had to make up for that. I can only start where I can acknowledge where I can do better. And I think that as a parent, as a man, as a father, at some point when you acknowledge what the shackle is, forgive yourself and just move on from there. I'm a believer. The scripture tells us, you got to be conformed. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that means to form new ideas. The shackle exists because you have not forgave yourself. And from there, you just move forward. So that's all I wanted to say as far as.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Are you good at forgiving yourself?
Me?
Because that really kind of rolled right into another part of the conversation.
If I can be honest, man, it depends on the topic. I can honestly say to this day, there are things that I still have not forgiven myself for in life. And I suppress it so much that I don't allow it to come to the surface. If a certain song or music or smell triggers certain thoughts and memories in me that my wife has a list of songs that I cannot listen to because they trigger certain thoughts and memories and emotions in me that I'm not equipped to deal with. And instead of me seeking some type of assistance to help me deal with it, to this day, 48 years old, I still don't want anything to do with it.
So is the shackle comfortable, or are you just willing to live with that discomfort?
I don't want to go through the pain of the healing of it.
So you're cool with shackles?
I'm not cool with it. I guess.
Right.
If I have to be honest,
I'm talking to me too.
Apparently, I appear to be more cool with dealing with it than I am with the healing process of it. So,
dealing with it in terms of
letting it exist, letting it still resonate within who I am as a person, and not resolving it to get it off me.
Yeah.
If it's still embedded in me, then that has to mean I'm okay with it, because anything you don't change about yourself, you're telling the world you're okay with that.
Accept
that thing about yourself. So.
What's going on, brothers? Rob, I guess my question would be, because the word shackled is very strong.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Who benefits from teaching that mindset to your son? Like, what systems that may be in place right now benefit from the idea that you will forever be entangled with your yesterday? And the reason I ask that question, especially in this room with all these melanin faces around, I think there is a unique difference in that perhaps we get taught that in a more feverish way.
Yeah.
When other people can go on to be president.
Mm-hmm.
And right now.
Despite their past. So who do you think benefits from maintaining the idea that you're shackled to yesterday?
What's that?
No, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you.
No, I was thinking about in terms of shackles that are passed down in terms of a mentality or a mindset that may not even be overtly, I'm putting this shackle on you, but because I have this limited view and experience of the world, and I believe this is how it, to go along and get along.
Yeah.
This is your place.
Yeah,
I can think back to me starting in corporate, and a lot of the advice that I got from my parents, who had not traveled the road that I was traveling, was kind of get along, go along.
Yeah.
You got this opportunity. Don't ruffle things too much. And to a large part, you know, I adopted that. I admittedly struggled hiring people that looked like me because of what I thought other people were going to think about me hiring people that looked like me.
Wow.
Though they did it all the time, because I know what I came in there, the load that I came in with. I know I had to outwork you. I know I had to spend 16-hour days on a regular. And the danger with that was when I bought into it so far that I really thought I was doing my family a favor, putting in all of this work, putting all of this effort for people that don't even care that it took me what it took. They only care about the result.
Right.
You're only good as your last result. So part of me being on this journey now, having been exited from corporate, I said it before, I got to the top of the ladder only to realize it was leaned against the wrong building. Like I had put so much into that process only to learn the lesson through my experience versus experiences of others, that they don't care.
Right, right.
And then what are you left with? And then it's, I no longer have the result of all of this work that I've done to constantly show my family. Because the results was resulting for a good while.
Certainly.
And then when that identity was stripped, it's like, well, the other piece of that is struggling with, am I even qualified to tell them to do different?
Right.
Parts of the reason that the gap between me and my parents, or me and my father specifically, grew was because I didn't think he understood what I was doing because I never saw him do it. How can you tell me about being in leadership?
Yeah.
How can you tell me about starting a company? How can you, let alone all of the conversations we never had, but the things that I thought very specifically about what he didn't do, I wasn't willing to listen to him about it. And that kind of further pushed me, you know, further off course. So I like the seed that you planted with that. And that's something
I'm gonna jump right on it.
Get to it.
It triggered me. I like that you said it, brother, because I agree with your perspective on that. Because I feel like if it goes back to the analogy I used about the mirror, if I'm so busy paying attention to my past and watching my past and staying in tune with my past, and let's say, for instance, it hurts.
Yeah.
Let's say, for instance, it's less than great. I'm so focused on that less than great moment that it won't allow me to be great. So now that also goes back to what I just spoke about, things that bother me that I haven't forgiven myself for, that I suppress and I don't acknowledge. I feel like it sounds harsh, but in my opinion, I convince myself that it takes being a tank to get through life. And so if I've tried, as I got older, you know, it becomes talking points to go seek healing and seek counseling. And I don't mean to say that like it's facetious. Those things are very important and needed. However, we hear it so much on social media and we hear talking points about it so much that we'll overdo it with someone that's not qualified to give it to us. And so now they have us overly sensitive. And so now when I've explored trying to become more sensitive in an area or seek healing in an area, I feel like it made me overly sensitive to that thing. And so now I felt like I was inadequate. I was no longer that tank I needed to be to push through this thing. So now you just turned my tank into a Yugo. So now I'm a little photo car and you any little brush or bump going to scrape me up, tear my paint off. And now I got a flat tire. I never had a flat tire on that tank because I'm rolling on these tracks. So now because I'm so rough and my exterior is so harsh, sure, that's not palatable for everybody, but it's going to get me where I'm trying to go. And my family inside the tank, you can attack me all day. You're not going to make it to the interior of what I got sealed and concealed inside of this tank. So now if I'm looking back at my past, trying to get in touch and in tune with the mistakes that I'm.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Made, and then I start to feel remorse, and now I open myself up, and now I'm all of a sudden, I'm a bit more soft to a thing. Now I feel like I'm not so protective of everything that I'm responsible for. And I don't have the grit that perhaps it would take for me to make that hard decision and push through this mud hole. It's going to tell my little ego up. What you got, brother?
Well, I got a couple of things. I'm going to address what you were just talking about right now in reference to life.
Yeah.
We need to look at that as an exam. We take tests, we make errors, then we can come back, take that test again and pass that question that we didn't get right.
Yeah.
Just like in life. Hey, when we going through life, we make errors. Let that error go. You know what to do going forward. So don't hold on to it. I'm just going to say, don't hold on to those errors that you make in life. You got to keep moving on. If somebody that's in your circle that's holding on to the error for you, maybe you need to, hey, I need to get into a different circle now because that's pulling me down. And I'm going to move over here to you. When you were talking about how your father was, he couldn't teach you about leadership and all that.
I didn't allow him.
Okay.
I want to make sure that.
Didn't allow him. Okay. And you know, I'm in human resources and I do training and all that type stuff. And, you know, I will always tell people when I would do orientation, you learn from everybody, no matter how old they are, how young they are. Think about it today. Our elderly are learning how to do technology from our children. But we can teach our children about life experience. So that's a full circle. So we cannot look at somebody and be like, hey, you can't teach me anything.
Appreciate that, brother.
Anybody that you put shackles on?
Say it again.
Says anybody that you put shackles on in your mind?
Anybody that I put shackles on?
Mm-hmm.
I used to have shackles on my dad. And I didn't realize that till later in life. As a kid, I didn't realize it. I admired my dad as a kid. I grew up in a single mom home. So I had this facade in my mind of who my dad was. And I idolized who I made him in my mind. And then as I got older and I got to know my dad, I began to judge my dad. And I took him off that pedestal and I started to criticize him in my mind. I never criticized him publicly, but in my mind, I started to tear apart the fairy tale that I had given my dad. Because my mom, she constantly, my entire childhood, always said she'd never badmouth my dad to me. She was like, it's not my job. God will hold me accountable if I do that. Whatever your relationship with your dad is, it's going to be because of the work that you and your dad put in. I have no input. So once I got older and I kind of tore him down in my mind because of things that I felt could have been different.
Yeah.
But then as they say, keep saying good morning. Now life has reversed again. I'm in phase 3 and he's in stages of dementia and I'm taking care of him. You know what I mean? So now I'm over his estate. I'm power of attorney and I have to, his house burned down this past summer. I'm driving back and forth to Houston, rebuilding his house and paying his bills and taking care of everything. So imagine as a child, this guy's a hero. And then as a teen and young 20s, I feel like this man let a portion of his family down.
Yeah.
And then now most people would condemn you to death at that moment. You know what I mean? Like, good. This your life coming back full circle on you. I removed the shackles to go back and make sure that he is good and accounted for now. Because at the end of the day, he was a man trying to figure out parenting. He didn't have a manual. He did what he knew. He did what he felt. It's not my job to hold him or judge him or condemn him. I'm allowed to feel however I feel.
Yeah.
However, there are things that he showed me as a man that showed me that he means well when he knows well, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense, man. And with my father, I limited his ability to parent me as a man.
Yeah.
like even through this journey, him and I have had the conversations about. So the tagline for the show is, "Dear Son, What I Wish My Father Told Me." And having the conversation with my dad as I'm 40, maybe 40, somewhere between 40 and 42, about all the things that he thought he got wrong.
Yeah.
And how much they align with all the things that I think I got wrong was very eye-opening.
Yeah.
The difference is I had a resource through that stage of life where he didn't. Now, he had to figure out how to be that resource because he didn't have. My dad's father died when my dad was 20. I've never seen him. I don't think my dad has ever seen the grandfather. I don't know if his dad has ever seen the grandfather. I keep saying that this is, at least going back to the mid-1800s, and the documentation that we have is the first time in the John side of the family that a man has had his father and his son alive at the same time.
Wow.
So the gap that I put in between me and my dad, initially not wanting information, after that being too embarrassed to ask for information, only to realize that he was doing his best. And the standard that he was setting was because there had to be a standard.
Yeah.
Had to be a standard.
Certainly.
The standard wasn't for me to like. The standard was for the house to run a certain way. He also admitted that he got some of that wrong, but I couldn't understand that until I became responsible for other people. And initially the approach that I took trying to be more lax and trying to be more cool and try to be, you know, the cool dad and all of that, didn't position it well for when I got fed up with the behavior that I didn't create a standard for.
Right, right.
So I learned to respect my dad. My dad is the biggest fan of this show. So yeah, what I wish my father told me, he was like, "Son, you're doing something that I couldn't put words to for decades. And we have more open and meaningful conversations now." But I realized that I had really shackled him. I had put a restriction on my father from being the man that I needed him to be in the most critical stages of life.
Great conversation, y'all. And I wanted to share a real life example of like what it means to shackle someone to their past or their bad decisions. I got an email from my son today. He forgot to do all his homework, right? And when I read the email, I had to step back because I'm like, this dude is afraid of the consequences of this shortcoming, this thing, this mistake that he made. And I had a question, like, why is he so afraid of this mistake?
Right.
And I can only come to one conclusion, me.
Yeah.
Right. So the thing that I sent back to him instead was a mistake is an event, not a name. It's an event. It's something that occurred. It's not a name for who you are. So I want us to really understand that this brother talked about his incarceration. I got a call from a friend last week who is just in despair about the fact that he's having trouble finding a job 20, 22 years after incarceration, right?
Yeah.
And I don't ever want us to propagate through our community in any way that a mistake is your name in any way. So I think that's the danger that I would warn us of teaching our sons that we're shackled in a way. We don't want to confuse accountability with identity.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Right, right.
Absolutely.
It does.
Oh, as you said that, I started to think when you said it's an event, not a name. When so many events are consistent and they are front of mind to you, how often do we rename our children their mistakes? This is who you are. No, this might be a phase. That might be something deeper. But if you're only looking at the behavior that's demonstrated and judging off of the behavior that's demonstrated, you'll never understand exactly what the child needs. Like I my oldest son, man, God bless him for living through me, through me learning. So yep. We had five children. We had girl, girl first. It was girl, girl, boy, girl, boy. And I just couldn't. There's only so much discipline I can do to my daughter. This is like, it's, yeah, you're going to cry. Okay, cool, cool. That's, you know, that's it. Let's go to the store. You know what I mean? Let's figure something else other than you not liking life right now because of me. But with my son, I over-indexed. And I was giving him everything that I had pent up that he didn't need. And I realized that it wasn't even so much that his mistakes were his behavior. I was just waiting for a mistake to act, yeah. to be in control, to demand that you do something, to give him what I got. The difference is I was earning every whipping that I got. Like it actually became part of the equation. Like, okay, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's probably going to sting. It's going to be this, but I'll get through it. And that hurt. I mean, that hurts to come to the realization that somebody that admires you, wants to be like you, and you read them wrong for so long. You read them wrong so long that you believe the bad about them that's not even about them. It's about my preconceived notions, me jumping to conclusions, me being frustrated that I didn't address the thing at 6 that's now a problem at 12. Because when I was 12, I didn't have that problem. Well, that problem was addressed at 6 with me, and I kind of missed that. So I'm glad you said that, bro, because it is very common to call somebody that mistake, even as a leader in corporate. Like the behavior that somebody exhibits, you classify them as that. If you can live with it and work with it and still get a result, maybe they stay around. If you can't live with this person being late every day or whatever it is, you're getting rid of them and you've considered that to be that person. And I unfortunately learned a lot of good life lessons in corporate that I can apply to my home that I should have learned in my home was to have a conversation about the why of a thing. And for me to actually care about the why and not just stop at the judgment of you shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah. I'm listening to what you're saying about, I keep hearing tradition. And even deeper than that, trauma tradition. Because we had a conversation 100 episodes ago about, I can't wait to give you what I got. It happened to me. I swear for God, it's going to happen to you. It's not justified. This child hasn't begun to even walk, talk. And it's like, boy, I see you laying there holding that bottle. You're going to try me one day. So we are so ready for our turn. It's my turn. I'm going to be the belt throwing, this switch twisting. You don't even know this child's personality yet. Like, for instance, my oldest boy, he really a lot of, except for that baby boy, they really don't have all of my personality. You know, mofo, he does. But brain on up, they really don't do the foolishness I be on. Like, the foolishness I grew up on, they hear stories about me and they criticize me. And I don't care. Not going to judge me. But I'm telling them the stories to let them know, hey, this is capable. It's out here, and I wouldn't advise you to do it because it's not going to go well. So when you say that you went through daughter-daughter and then your oldest son, and you were like, hey, you're going to get this, and if he does step outside of the line, you're probably acting as though he jumped out the building only because I haven't been able to release my turn at this trauma on my daughters, so now I got to make up for them too. So he really getting it for 3. He child number 3. I've been waiting 3 kids to give you this smoke. So you finna get 3 kids worth of smoke till I get it out of my system. Not, and that sounds a certain way, but I know you're not an abusive dad at all. Please don't ever take it that way. My brother not like that. But, you know, sometimes it's words. You know, we can pop off at our kids with words because I'm a double standard king. Like, I don't treat girls and boys the same. And my wife and women that I know criticize me for that. I don't care. I don't care. Take it to Jesus. But I absolutely treat them differently. I don't princess a girl to death to where she's not accountable for her actions, because that's where you're going to set her up for failure and she's going to be no good in a relationship. And now her husband can't do anything for her because now dad spoiled her to a point where she's not accountable for her own actions. Please don't do that. But however, she can get a stern talking to. Whereas the boy, you're like, I ain't got no words, man. Come on, let's get to this action. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So we have to be more mindful as fathers that
it's the same thing with women.
They ready to put their daughter between the washer and dryer. But because it's like, nah, she not going to play with me. But that's the same trauma that the dad is passing down to the son. It's gender specific. Like, nah, you letting them make it. Even more so, your daddy really too soft on you. I got it. So now, yeah, you saw what she did. She popped her lips at me. Well, hold on. Whoa, 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 whoa. So we have to be mindful as parents to not only hold each other accountable, but be aware in the moment that this is my son. He has my genes in him. So if he go and he tear this whole car apart, he don't know how to put it back together. He Jay Black's son.
For sure.
Yeah. What you got?
So it's vice versa with me. I was the, I got fussed at. I was cussed at. I didn't really get too many whoopings, but it was like, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, I ain't never cussing at my son. I ain't never doing this. I ain't never doing that. So now I have a son. Right? I still don't cuss at him. Yeah. I might tell him sit his ass down somewhere. And you know, but I don't use nothing harsh, right?
Yeah.
So, like you said a minute ago, you can appreciate the standard your dad set, right? I can appreciate that standard my mama set because it's like, who are you playing with right now? My mama would have been told me 30 minutes, say, sit, Joe. You know, probably would have popped me. And so I think we can't get caught up in either way, right? I'm never going to be too much of this or I want to be like this because I just think it's so different for everybody else. And I think you have to have such a healthy, healthy, healthy balance with knowing your kid. Each kid is so different. Like y'all have multiples. I only have one. My son is so much like me.
Yes.
It's scary to watch, right? It's almost like, oh, wow. Okay. So boom. I know where my mom didn't see it with me. I see it with him. So it's like, I see you at the door.
Right, you think
you so slick, I see you at the door. So I handle him accordingly, right?
Yes.
But it's, you can't handle each kid the same, right? Yeah. So when you have multiples, it's like, we always shape-shifting as parents. I got to be this for you. I got to be that. I got to be this. And it's so important that we stay on that, like, knowing what each kid needs. Because if I can't be the soft, confident parent to the rowdy kid, you know what I'm saying?
Should not be.
Right.
Should not be.
They're all, we got five algorithms in the house. That's what I call them. We got a sixth one because my oldest algorithm saw fit for us to have a grandchild. So even that is eye opening, seeing how she parents, because we all live in the same house. And sometimes something raises up inside me and I'm like, but is that you though?
Yeah.
Like, does that one qualify as you, or like you have a responsibility in this, and it's a beautiful thing to experience. I'm becoming way more aware.
Yeah.
But I think the important thing that you were saying is having conversations. I think that's the biggest difference between my generation and my parents, and maybe similar for y'all, that certain conversations we weren't afforded because they would never afford it. And it's like our generation, or at least for my house, my wife and I, maybe my wife's experiences was different than mine. They talk. They be using some words. And my family was kind of opposite. Like we showed love differently. We didn't leave the house saying, I love you. I actually learned to say, I love you to a man because my son would say it to me and not get out the car for looking at me like, you heard what I said?
Right. Get you together.
As he's 7 or 8 years old, I learned that from my son. And I'm great that I learned a lesson, but greater that he was emotionally way more mature than I've ever been at any age that he's in currently. Yep. So I, you know, the through line is always have conversations, not just with your children, but with, you know, the people that you're interacting with, the people that you may feel are responsible for the shackles, the people that may see you through shackles. Seeing yourself through your shackles, I think, is a very dangerous thing that I'm growing through now. It's for every success, I temper it with a lens of, but you also over here, you ain't really cutting it over here, or that thing you miss, or that opportunity you miss. I'm learning to use the past as the reference that it's intended to be and not a lens of who I am today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because listen,
my personality, it keeps me grounded, but it also is a blessing and a curse. So, and what I mean by that is there's so many instances that I often tell people I've lived 20 lives, right? I'm like on life 21 right now. However, my sense of humor, I feel like, got me through a lot of problems and issues that I feel like the average person or another person perhaps wouldn't have shaken back from or been able to deal with in a certain way. But at the same time, I'm sometimes received as I didn't take it serious. And I did. I absolutely took it serious. I laughed because I took it so serious. Like that had become my coping mechanism, yeah. Because like I have to laugh at you and walk away, or perhaps this situation was about to go violent, or this was going to go bad, or my reaction would have severed this relationship or this friendship, and you never would talk to me again if you genuinely received what I really wanted to do or naturally react how I wanted to react in this situation. Because I laughed at it and walked away, he think I'm playing with him. God bless you and keep you. And then when you see me again, and now I'm calm enough and collected enough, we about to have a conversation about that, because I can't just let you make it. I have to let you know that you crossed me in a way that I had to learn over the years how to save you from me and save me from me as well. So now, because of that, that could be viewed as a shackle. Yeah. Like my temper was ferocious in my youth, and I'm embarrassed at how bad my temper was growing up. Like it didn't take two words to put my hands on somebody. That was my environment. You know what I mean? So because that's my environment, play with me. Let's do it. I'm embarrassed, and I try to make certain that I live out loud in front of my children about anger and frustration and hey, that. So imagine if I remain shackled to that behavior, to that mindset, to that thought process. Like, ain't no sense in me fixing that, man. This is who I am. This is how it is. This got me to be 21. If I wasn't ferocious like this, I wouldn't have seen 21. You can convince yourself of a thing that the wrong thing you're doing is the way of business. This business as usual. I'm supposed to come in here and tear this thing down. No, sir. No, sir. You just had a praying grandmother, as the song says. Somebody prayed you through this. You were covered. Like, some of the foolish things I've done, I honestly give credit to those that loved me enough to intercede on my behalf, because I had nothing to do with it. And to this day, like, even my wife, man, if it wasn't, it's certain things right now in 2026, I'd be on the brink, and she'd be like, hold on. Let me put my hand on your head for a second. Just breathe. And we good. Because there was a time that even that wouldn't have been enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm grateful for being able to say I can relate to my past, but perhaps I've found a way to break the majority of those shackles.
Yeah. That's dope, man. I think it's a life hack to have somebody that that can understand you and be there for you in that way.
Yeah.
I think the challenge a lot of my relationship was not allowing them to be there for me that way.
Yeah.
So the message is, guys, don't be like me. That's the moral of the story. this conversation. I hope everybody got something from it, got you thinking, not necessarily thinking like us. But I challenge everybody to release somebody that you have figuratively or physically shackled, like something you haven't let go, some conversation that you've avoided indefinitely.
Yeah.
And have that conversation, because it is draining your energy, your mental space as well, to hold somebody in a space that they probably don't even know they're in.
Man.
Have that conversation. I think we got one more. My young brother.
Tell
you publicly that I love you, brother.
I can't wait to hear this. Indeed. Only God know what this young brother finna say on this microphone.
First off, giving honor to God.
The head of my life.
The head of my life. As for me and my family, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. First off, I love the conversation about shackles. And speaking about that,
remarkably speaking,
no.
Getting dressed at home, I'm shaving his bald head. I watch my wife do her makeup. And we were having a conversation about whether you allow life's obstacles to make you a continuous victim. And that defining moment when you decide that I'm not going to be a victim anymore.
Yeah.
We were both speaking about our moms and how they were our heroes growing up, but they allowed some defining moments in life to define them and their actual existence and how they allowed themselves to be seen in the beginning. My mom was my hero coming up. I watched her do it all. I watched her work, cook, clean, parent the children while still finding a way to make ends meet. You know what I mean? So, but then a certain thing happened later on in life that just made her give up. And then I watched that happen. And now, much like your dad's house fire, yeah. I find myself telling my wife, and I'm very frustrated with it, it's very difficult raising parents.
Boy.
You know, because some of the shackles that they have, that they are experiencing, we can't break them on our own.
Right.
So thankfully, we have individuals that are able to grab our head and say, oh, wait, watch out now. Or we do have people that say, you going to lift it, go down like that? Because every now and again, you just got to crash on out. You know what I'm saying?
No, sir.
I hate that. Yes, you
have to. No, sir. I'm going to rebuke that in the name of Jesus. You have to
do it in a directed way.
No, sir. Bow your head.
It has to, Lord. God, no, sir. He knows my heart. You got to do it in a directed way because you have to be disruptive with some things.
For sure.
Yes.
Disruptive.
Yes, yeah, but you said crash.
That's
out.
What I mean when I say crash on
no,
out.
Sir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah, you got to be disruptive. You
clean
got to up. Crash on out just a little bit.
It
is necessary in order to break some of these things. Because some of these cycles, they're not just going to go away by just talking about them. They're not just going to go away about saying, let's have happy feelings.
Yeah.
Some of these things we literally have to go to war with.
Certainly.
And sitting here hearing the different things and the different topics where someone is like, hey, look, I feel like I'm shackled because my mom still just won't hear me out for how I feel. It's going to take a little disruptiveness. And they crash on out. Maybe, hey, mom, I love you, but guess what? I got to call you back, baby. I can't have this conversation with you today. Or, hey, look, I'm only able to talk to you for 5 minutes at a time.
Then that's okay. Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, for real.
That's the crash out.
Yeah.
And we all have to get to a point to where we understand that breaking those shackles and breaking those cycles mean I don't care who I lose in life today, it just won't be me.
Boy.
You understand me? And
hey, man.
That's where we are. That's what I got from what you guys spoke about today. It is very reflective in my life.
Yeah.
It is reflective in my marriage. It is reflected in my home. It is reflected in how I parent my children. Because, you know, just something about that second born, I don't know what it is about them, Lord Jesus. You know what I'm saying? they are the captains of the crash on out squad. You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, thank you. Thank you to the Dear Son Show. Thank you to the Dear Son Podcast. Thank you to the foundational efforts that have been put in place by all that you guys do. Tonight has been wonderful. Thank you so much to the people who have spoke about what they feeling, what they felt and what they thought from the institutionalized individuals who managed to stand here today and have a free mind, to the individuals that have suffered from the childhood trauma and feeling like their words and their voices are not heard. But they were definitely heard because there's a place for you here at the Dear Son Network.
Yeah,
please
yeah.
like, share, and follow.
Yeah.
The link is below.
Good luck.
They're going to put it on the camera. Y'all understand what's going on. You know what I'm saying? I may or may not be in a couple of those episodes. But anyway, thank you guys for all of that and for allowing us to all have a voice. May we all be shackled no more.
Indeed. That's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.